I'm so excited to share something with you. I started this podcast because I kept having the same conversations about ADHD and mum life with friends. But then after I started the podcast, the same requests for more information in writing kept popping up in my DMs and Facebook group. That's why I created the ADHD Mums Shop, a place where you can grab the answers to your biggest questions. These guides are straightforward, no fluff, no upsells, no one-to-one, no courses, just the answer to your question that you're asking. If you want a topic added, shoot me an email. Jump in and check it out. Hello and welcome back to ADHD Mums. In this podcast, we tackle the tough, often unspoken realities of motherhood, neurodiversity, and mental health. Hello and welcome to another episode of ADHD Mums. Today we have a follow-up episode after the Protecting Vulnerable Women episode, addressing the crisis of sexual assault with Tanya Hicks. And that episode had such an outcry of women who were talking around what they've experienced in regards to abuse and the partners that they've attracted, and whether being neurodivergent has meant that they have attracted a partner who has been more likely to have narcissist qualities. It seems like an overarching theme that I've just been receiving so much information about. So off the back of that, it really sparked my interest as to whether we do attract narcissists into our lives or not. And I really want to dive in with some great information to identify if you have a narcissist in your life. If you do, what can you do about it? And thirdly, how to identify what a narcissist looks like. This episode is not just about partners. It can be at work, it can be friends, it can be family, of course. So we're going to dig into something that's really important: why some of us keep finding ourselves in relationships with narcissists. If this is something you've experienced, it's easy to wonder, why me? Why do I keep attracting this type of person over and over again? But here's the thing, and it can be really hard to hear. We do play a role in the relationships that we choose. Before we go any further, I really want to acknowledge that this doesn't apply to situations of forced or arranged marriages or relationships where you don't have much say in who you're with. But for a lot of us, we do choose our partners unconsciously or consciously. And if you keep finding yourself in relationships with narcissists, it's not a coincidence. Something deeper is going on. If it happens once, maybe you've just been fooled by the charm or the charisma of a narcissist. They can be very attractive, they can be very manipulative, and they can have big romantic gestures early on that we identify as love bombing, where we are just inundated by their love, which may feel really validating, especially if you've come from a background of maybe not having a lot of self-esteem. Maybe you've had your own traumatic childhood upbringing, and then you have someone that just loves you so much and so deeply. And you may interpret that as you've fallen in love hard, but love bombing can be a technique of a narcissist, can be. If you notice this pattern repeating and repeating in your life, there might be something inside you that's driving the behavior. It can be past patterns or unmet emotional needs, even if they're self-destructive. You may not be aware of it, but if you keep ending up in the same place, which is on the back foot of a narcissist, there might be something leading you there. Let's talk about where this might be coming from. If you grew up experiencing narcissistic abuse as a child, this can absolutely impact the types of relationships that you gravitate to as an adult. Whether a parent or a caregiver teaches you through their actions, words, values that love is conditional, or that you're only worthy when you act a certain way, those beliefs get deeply embedded in you. If your parent taught you that you needed to be perfect to gain love, or that you deserve to be ridiculed or manipulated, it's not surprising that you'd unconsciously choose a partner who reinforces what you've been taught to believe is true about relationships and love. Another factor is low self-esteem. If your self-worth has taken a hit, whether it from your upbringing, previous relationships, or life events, you may find yourself drawn to a narcissist who continues to put you down, making you feel like you're not good enough just the way you are. Sometimes when our self-esteem is so low, we're drawn to people who seem more capable or more confident than we are, even if that person is actually a narcissist. It can feel like they're offering you experiences that you couldn't have had on your own, but the cost is often your own sense of self. One of the factors that comes into play is codependency. And if you've been in a background that being codependent, you may seek that in your romantic relationship as well. So for example, what does that mean? If you have your own sense of identity is taking care of others, and a lot of neurodivergent women have an identity around taking care of others, or if you're a people pleaser, oh my God, there are so many people pleasers in this audience, and I am a people pleaser, so I probably attract it. You may find that you're a magnet for narcissists. Narcissists are drawn to people who will allow them to dominate, and they will allow the narcissist to behave inappropriately and be the center of attention without pushback. Sometimes we can also feel really sorry for them. They often have a really traumatic upbringing. They have a story as to why they are the reason they are. And if that's the case, our high levels of empathy and wanting to help them might make us continue to tolerate behavior. If you have codependent tendencies where you tend to put their needs above your own, you would be the perfect partner to fuel a narcissist. And let's not forget about being naive. There is a naive element to a neurodivergent woman, I believe. Not all of us, but a lot of us are very naive. If you're someone who sees the best in people and doesn't recognize easily manipulative behavior, you can find yourself drawn to narcissists simply because you don't see the red flags. You take everybody's intention as good because often yours is, and it doesn't occur to you that you're being used or treated poorly. I met a woman recently and she listed to me about how amazing her partner was. He just sounded so great. When I met him, he was really mean to her all the time. He spoke down to her. She couldn't do anything right. And she was just staring up at him, like idolizing him. And I don't even think she was aware of who she's with. And a lot of the time, those people are the ones that later on say that they were in a relationship for 10 years and didn't know that they were in an emotionally abusive relationship. This can be really true for people who are autistic, who struggle to read between the lines when it comes to relationship motives. Narcissists are also great at disguising their true intentions from the beginning. So if you're really trusting or you have difficulty picking up on people manipulating you, you probably are going to be more vulnerable to their tactics. So you may be someone that tolerates some of this behavior early on that others don't, which means that you might date them for longer or maybe end up marrying them. And whereas other women may look at it like, I don't really like that. That doesn't spell happiness for me. There's a red flag. They may talk to someone. They may alert to it quickly and then back off. Whereas a neurodivergent woman may not. If this resonates with you, it's time to step back and reflect. Repeating the relationship patterns can cause serious emotional harm, especially if you keep ending up with partners who treat you poorly or abuse you. Recognizing that there's something deeper at play is the first step. And the good news is that once you become aware of these patterns, you can start changing or working on them. Seeking help from a therapist, from a psychologist, from a psychiatrist who understands narcissistic abuse can be really beneficial in terms of you breaking the cycles and building a healthy, more fulfilling relationship. So if you think you may be in a relationship with a narcissist, don't blame yourself. This is not about blame. This is not about what you've done to attract this person. It's about understanding what's happening beneath the surface and taking steps to reclaim control of your relationship choices. If you choose to leave that relationship, you don't want to attract another one. So let's have a look at why you've attracted that narcissist. Because you deserve to be in a relationship where you are valued for who you are and not exploited for someone else's gain. And in a narcissist relationship, you will be exploited for their gain. So all people, not just neurodivergent women, we are meant to build relationships on empathy, trust, and mutual support. But when you're in a relationship with someone who is a narcissist, it flips the whole dynamic on its head. Instead of feeling supported and connected, everything becomes a competition or a power struggle, or worse, manipulation. Healthy relationships are built on secure attachment even when we have disagreements. The foundation of love, respect, and shared goals is like steady. But with narcissists, the focus shifts. It's not about building each other up. Instead, it's about dominance, control, and exploitation. A narcissist approaches interactions with, it's me versus you all the time. And they'll do whatever it takes to maintain their sense of superiority. Whether it's through emotional manipulation or just basically trying to make you feel small, one of the most difficult things about being in a relationship with a narcissist is their constant need to deflect blame. It is infuriating. If you've ever been blamed for something that you know wasn't your fault, you're not alone. Narcissists have an incredibly harsh inner critic. They're constantly trying to avoid the feelings of shame and self-hatred. They protect themselves from these feelings by projecting all of their mistakes onto you. It's not about fairness or reason, it's about their need to preserve their fragile self-esteem. The truth is, you can't win an argument with a narcissist. Logic's not going to get you anywhere because it's not about facts, it's about their survival. But there are ways to reduce conflict in the moment. However, these are only applicable if you're already in the relationship with the narcissist and you've identified that you need to leave. This is not a go-to map on how to cope with a narcissist and band-aid and cater to them. That is not what this is. But I'm talking about strategies how to handle them if you already have them in your life. Like, for example, a family member, a friend, a work person, you can't get away from them. Maybe they're embedded in your life in some way. This would be a way to like manage them, or you're co-parenting with a narcissist. You should be absolutely looking for reasons and ways to leave if you are with a narcissist. But I just want to go through some ways to avoid conflict if you are having to be around one. A good example is co-parenting. One strategy is to show empathy, reflecting back what they're feeling without getting sucked into the blame game. Another is to offer help, not because they deserve the help, but because it can diffuse the situation and give you some breathing room. A lot of women that I've spoken to talk about a narcissist following them around the house, unable to let the conflict go, until they eventually wear you down to a point where you just agree. So by agreeing and defusing the situation, it's a way, because you would have ended up doing it anyway. They don't ever stop. They never admit fault. Doesn't matter what practical and logical argument you have. They don't see it that way. They are incapable of just having a normal discussion and then one person going, "Oh, I see your point of view. I'm sorry." I wouldn't even bother, because it's not going to work. These are just short-term fixes to agree. It's a band-aid. And over time, having to manage someone else's ego constantly is an absolute emotional drain. And at some point, you have to ask yourself, is this actually sustainable? Because no one wants to spend their life walking on eggshells, managing someone else's self-esteem at the expense of their own well-being. Narcissists don't just hurt the individual. They leave deep scars from everyone around them, and people often develop PTSD after being in a relationship or being brought up by a narcissist. The trauma spreads through families and can go through social systems, where it continues to play out. But the understanding of the dynamics is the first step to break free. We really need to reclaim what connection looks like. Relationships are built on respect and care. They're not built on competition and control. Okay, so if you're listening to this wondering, "Oh, am I with a narcissist or not? I don't know. It all seems a little bit confusing. Maybe it is my fault. It's usually my fault, and I'm not sure." Let's go through a few ways to spot a narcissist. The tricky part is that narcissists don't always look like the stereotypical self-absorbed person who's always seeking the spotlight. Many of them are charming, generous, and they seem completely fine, at least on the surface, even desirable. Other people could be saying to you, "Wow, how did you get that guy? He seems amazing." Often they are very clever, in high-paying jobs, who are successful. It's only when a conflict happens that you start to see the cracks, and that's when the true nature appears. What really stands out in these relationships is just a complete lack of empathy. Now, it's important here to make a distinction when we talk about empathy and sympathy. Sympathy is just we intellectually understand someone's pain, like, "Oh, your dog died. I'm sorry that you're going through that." But empathy is a lot more complex. Sympathy can be learned, like when someone passes away and someone goes, "I'm sorry for your loss." That's kind of like a learned behavior. Empathy is a lot more complex, and it's when we actually feel what the other person is feeling on a deep emotional level. Empathy is essential in healthy relationships because it allows us to connect and care about other people's emotional experiences. But narcissists, they struggle to even access empathy. They may appear sympathetic because they've kind of learned to put on the show, or they'll say, "I hope you're okay." Maybe they buy you something, but it's more around how they're perceived by others. They don't actually genuinely care. They may be more likely to buy you flowers, but then tell you to get over it. Let's talk about the specific dynamics that play out when you're dealing with a narcissist in conflict. One common behavior is what is known as the emotional hot potato. A narcissist will take their own uncomfortable feelings like anger, shame, frustration, and just basically throw them at you and project it all onto you. So for example, if you bring up a valid concern, instead of addressing it, they'll then accuse you of being angry or unreasonable, or it's somehow your fault and then you don't even know how you've ended up with you being under fire. How did this happen over a very simple, small conversation? They will project their feelings onto you to avoid dealing with their own emotions. Over time, the result of that is that you can feel like you're always in the wrong, even though deep down you're thinking, no, I'm not though, but it always ends up being your fault. Or you end up saying sorry, even if they've made a mistake and they should say sorry, it's always you. And that can be really confusing because as a neurodivergent woman, often we've been told we're wrong, we should try harder, it's our fault. So our self-esteem isn't always there, which is why sometimes a neurodivergent woman can take this on and believe it rather than seeing it for what it is. Another behavior to watch out for is withdrawal followed by an attack. So it's when a narcissist is confronted with a problem or they're asked to step up in some way, I need you to help me. They will often shut down emotionally or physically. They may give you the silent treatment, the cold shoulder, refuse to engage, withdraw love. And when they finally do respond, it's an attack. They turn the situation around to make you feel guilty for even asking for help. Suddenly you're the unreasonable one. Suddenly you've got too high expectation or need and they can't meet them because it's your fault and you're ridiculous. And then they're the victim of your demands. It's the ultimate gaslighting, really, and it's not about deflecting blame in the moment. They are actually really vindictive. If you've ever been in a relationship with one and you've tried to leave, you'll know what I'm talking about. They don't let go easy. And once you started pulling away and they feel that, they can ramp up the manipulation and the adult tantrum. They might start spreading lies, attacking your character, calling friends and family, people at work, portraying themselves as the victim. The reality is they just can't stand losing control and they'll do anything they can to get you back. Whether it's about trying to lure you back in with promises that they can't keep or won't keep, or making your life so difficult that it's impossible to move on. And that brings me to one of the most painful truths about a narcissist, and this is where you know if you're with one or not. They never take responsibility. They never own up to their own behavior. They twist reality to fit in the narrative of where they are. It's never their fault. If you've ever tried to have a heart-to-heart conversation with a narcissist, expect an apology or some kind of accountability, you'll probably end up really frustrated and more gaslit than ever. To them, they are never the problem. So you might be thinking, why? Why are they like that? Oh my God. It's a great question. Narcissists inside at their core are so insecure. They have the harshest, most unforgiving inner voice. They're constantly criticizing themselves, telling themselves that they're not good enough. And to cope with this internal turmoil and shame, they create kind of like a false self, an inflated version of themselves that's perfect, superior. They can't do anything else wrong. But the false self is fragile. Any small criticism or mistake threatens to shatter this. And so they go to great lengths to protect their false self. They can't handle blame. It feels like a direct attack on their fragile sense of self. You may think they don't have a fragile self. You have a fragile self. They really do, but they manage it in a much different way. This is why blame shifting is so central to their behavior. Even if they admit fault, even for something small, it triggers a deep spiral of shame and self-loathing. They will never do it. Instead of owning up to a mistake, they just project their mistakes onto others. They make it their fault. They get the apology. And this projection is a way of avoiding their inner critic and maintaining their sense of superiority, which in their mind keeps them safe. So what can you do if you're in the middle of this dynamic? It's important to remember that reason and logic won't work. If you're listening to this audio and you're thinking, oh my God, I think I'm with a narcissist, what can I possibly do? Or you're co-parenting with a narcissist, here are some strategies to work with them to try and de-escalate situations. Logic and reason are not going to work. You can't argue your way out of the situation with a narcissist and they are relentless. They will follow you around the house until you admit that you're wrong or you're so worn down. You may not be allowed to sleep until you say sorry, and you may say sorry just because you just can't stand it anymore. They may hold grudges and carry on about something for days and days and days. One of the ways to manage situations is to try to not feed their need for control. One strategy to help in the short term is to show empathy. And I know this sounds really weird, because why should you show empathy when they're the one hurting you? But the idea is to acknowledge their feelings without getting drawn into the conflict. So for example, if they're angry because they can't find anything, instead of arguing about whose fault it is, you might say, "That must be really frustrating for you. Let me help you." It's not about validating their behavior. It's just more about diffusing the situation by acknowledging their emotions to de-escalate them. And a lot of narcissists can move into physical violence, and this is a way to cut it off before it goes there. But of course, you should always be making a safety plan and thinking about leaving. Another technique is to help solve the problem. If blame starts flying, instead of engaging in the argument, offer practical help. This doesn't mean taking responsibility or saying sorry, but it's about redirecting the focus away from blame and just trying to find a solution. For example, if they're upset about losing something, you might say, "Let me help you look for it. I think I know where it is. This is how we can find it." And instead of blaming who lost it, you can go back to, "Well, let's just find it. I'll help you." These, of course, are band-aids. They can get you through the immediate conflict, but they don't address the underlying deep issues in the relationship. And it's not okay to do this and just live with them. Absolutely, we should be looking at leaving. Over time, constantly having to manage someone's ego can wear you down. And you've probably neglected your own needs, or you've lost yourself in the process of keeping the peace. If you're in this relationship, it's crucial to reflect, like, whether you can actually continue. Is this sustainable long term? I would argue it probably wouldn't be. And no one deserves to be in a relationship where their own well-being is taking the back seat to someone else's self-esteem. At some point, you need to really ask yourself if this is a cycle you want to stay in, or if it's time to start protecting your own emotional health. Breaking free from a relationship from a narcissist would not be easy, especially if you've been conditioned to prioritize their needs over yours. But understanding the patterns is the first step. If you can see the dynamic for what it is, you can start making choices that prioritize your own well-being. Here are some steps to how to leave a narcissist. Step one, acknowledge the problem, and also record videos or write down evidence to remind yourself. So one of the hardest and first steps to leaving a narcissist is to acknowledge that the relationship is toxic. Narcissist abuse is often subtle, creeping up on you until you suddenly realize that this relationship is damaging not only to you, but everybody around you. But this moment of realization is crucial. And when this happens, remind yourself of what you've done, and remind yourself that you've done what you can with the best that you could at that time. And a lot of these things are going to be outside of your control. But once you've accepted that this relationship is not sustainable, we need to move forward. This can take a long time. A lot of women that I speak to take videos of themselves that they hide in apps, crying in situations to remind themselves, or they'll voice record someone following them around, screaming at them, abusing them, or belittling them, and it may go on for hours. And watching yourself back or listening to yourself back can have a massively big effect on you when you start to recognize some of these things. Two, you really need to look at your support system. As you prepare to leave, one of the most important things you can do is to build the solid support system. You're going to need people in your corner. Family, friends, therapists, professionals, people that you can trust and lean on. Don't be afraid to reach out to other people who have been in similar situations, even online communities. Start to plan a safe exit. This is really difficult and it requires planning. You really need to ensure you've got a safe place to go. Get your document, ID, passport, birth certificate, stuff like that. Obviously, with children, it's going to be even more difficult. Contact 000 if you need to. Step three, setting boundaries. This is really difficult because to protect your own mental well-being and prevent further manipulation, you've really got to decide what you can and can't tolerate, especially if you've got children. Setting and enforcing boundaries early on can be really difficult, and you're going to need support for that. Step four, keeping a record, particularly with co-parenting, if that's what you've got moving forward, you really need to keep a record and evidence, because if legal action needs to happen or family court happens, you need to have that evidence there and reminders of why you left. This might start to just reaffirm the decision, so you keep staying committed to the path. Step 5, seek legal assistance. I'm going to put some links into the show notes. You really need to speak to a lawyer. Legal aid can be great around to help you understand your rights and guide you through some of the complexities. The next step is to create safety. So to make sure that children and pets are safe from the narcissist. Narcissists do like to use children and pets as leverage. So to create a safety plan to ensure they're protected, gather up all the documents, contact authorities if need be, and get your evidence together. If you can get protective orders, go for it. If you can, and you know, your lawyer has said it's okay, just cut off contact. A lot of people who are stuck co-parenting with narcissists wish they could cut off contact, but they can't. If you can, cut it off. Block their number, remove them from social media, avoid face-to-face conversations. The next step, be aware of their cycle of behavior. Often narcissists follow a cycle of behavior, kindness followed by manipulation. Don't be fooled by the moments of remorse or the kind behavior, the cycle of abuse that you're being manipulated in. Stand firm, watch your videos, listening to your recordings, and try not to fall into old patterns. If you can, get a mental health care plan, seek help, look at seeing a psychologist, a counselor, look at talking to friends, try to build a network and find your sense of self again. I've glanced over it and that's just like a massive point, but you really need to get as much support as you can behind you and attempt to restart a life in a new and positive way. You may need to move to a new place, change jobs, find a new circle of friends. The narcissist might be going around your circle of friends pretending to be the victim. That happens. They're often very manipulative. And focus on your own personal growth. Try and find some new hobbies, pursue opportunities, stay busy, stay focused, and try to regain some of the sense of self-esteem that's been taken from you. Try to rebuild. Remember that staying small and quiet is where narcissists like to live and breathe. Do what you can to take small steps forward. Look for all the help that you can get. I'm going to put a heap of stuff into the show notes on places that you can go and services that you can access. This may just be the start of the journey for you. A lot of people talk about the reason that they realized they were with a narcissist was listening to an audio about narcissists. I've worked with a narcissist before and I didn't realize he was a narcissist and I didn't realize I was playing into it until I listened to a recording thinking, I'll listen to this about narcissists for other people because I like things about psychology. And then when I listened to it, I realized that I'd actually been working with a narcissist for a long period of time and I'd been manipulated for a long period of time. This isn't just about a romantic relationship. This can happen at work. This can happen in your family as well. You may have parents or, you know, brother, sister who are narcissists. The change is not often there. We don't often see a lot of change and a lot of improvement with narcissists. They're not people that we can help generally. They're people that need huge psychological intervention. And obviously we want them to seek help, but you are not going to help them seek help. You are going to go away and create your own sense of self and they can go and have their own personal therapy because that's their journey. It's not your job to heal them. I've got all the helplines in the show notes and all the services available. This is just a really quick look into narcissism. I haven't been with a narcissist in a relationship before and I don't have any experience in leaving a narcissist DV relationship. But I just want to acknowledge that because I don't want anyone to think that I'm sitting here thinking, oh, I know exactly what to do. This has been a really difficult episode to plan because I don't have that experience of being with a narcissist. But what I can do is I can research, I can read women's experiences, and then I can look at what services are available and plan an episode. So I'm wanting to shed light on it because I want to see more change. I want to see government change. I do feel a little bit odd because I'm talking about how to identify one, how to leave one without having had any personal experience. But if we don't continue to talk about things, change won't happen. And I don't want to limit this podcast to what I have personal experience in. So that's the reason why the episode is there. Please contact all the services if needed. And thank you so much for listening. I really hope that by shedding light on these issues, we are going to see less violence towards women and we're going to see more help where we need it, which is in the services. Best of luck. Take care of yourself and the others around you.
The key message here is you are not alone. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, follow us on Instagram or head over and join our amazing ADHD Mums podcast Facebook community. Everything you do matters and helps to spread the word about what neurodiversity in females looks like.